Today, Unleashing Your Potential with Mark Victor Hansen. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined by famous author Mark Victor Hansen. Hi there.
Martin, good to be back with you again, sir.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for spending the time. Last time we spoke about the importance of individuals taking accountability and responsibility, you know, for all things in life, including their finances. But I wanted to turn the conversation today specifically to the question of, does it make sense to save at the moment, given the fact that interest rates are so low and will stay low forever? You know, frankly, loans are really cheap. Has it changed the game in terms of financial planning and financial thinking, do you think?
I'm going to give you my opinion. Each person's got to make their own decision up. All I want to do is hold up a mirror so they can look in and make a new decision at the best possible. My recommendation is that you save with only one reason: to store, to invest, to multiply exponentially your money. And I suggest that if somebody's a newbie to this, and you've probably got a lot of wannabe millionaires, I believe everybody should write down they're going to be a millionaire. And as I mean, you know, all my books like Cracking the Millionaire Code, where I'm creating a million millionaires and there's one right way for everyone. But I believe everyone should not have a million today, but needs a minimum of 10 million to have financial freedom. So the idea of saving is you save with the point of investing. And as for the interest rate being low, if you do that, my recommendation to a beginner, just like when I began, I was earning money, but the first thing I did is I bought an income producing house and I kept renting. And that's why I say, number one, buy something that's going to be an appreciating asset, right? And especially at a high level. And there's a lot of those available because other people are throwing away their assets. In bad times like COVID, people throw away their assets, which is the opposite of what I teach. I say, this is a time to aggregate, take in, buy more, create more, and create more products, because we're going to come out of this cocoon of blackness, darkness, scariness, and we're going to go into high-flying butterflyness. My corporate symbol is a butterfly. And so that's number one. Number two is you should have two income-producing properties in one car, not two cars and one rental. And I know that was a bigger answer than you asked for, but hopefully it made sense.
No, absolutely. I'm really fascinated by this because, of course, there are people who are basically saying, look, property has been overvalued for a generation, particularly in Australia, right? And people are paying, frankly, very high multiples of income. And therefore, the question is, can property really continue to ride higher from this point, given, of course, we have high unemployment and other things going on here and the broader issues around the economy? So I'm interested that you still very much have faith in property as essentially a long-term appreciating asset.
You only make money in property when you buy it right. If you buy it right and own it and make sure it is positive cash flowing, then you're home free. And the point is, on a graph, if this is a graph, the graph has gone up like that. Outrageous prices there and here. The point is, the graph's going this way because I don't know what your unemployment is here, but we have 50 million people in America not employed. What is your number there, Martin, right now?
Well, the official number is about 7% of the population, which is up by around 800,000 to 900,000 from where it was before COVID struck. But the unofficial rate's probably a lot higher than that.
Well, I'm going to say, rather than protest, I want them to invest. Rather than burning down buildings like they are here, I want them to build up buildings, build up businesses. And what I teach, as you know, an entrepreneur is somebody who finds a problem, fixes it for a vast profit. And like when we had the Depression in 1898, we were in a cocoon in America, but four things came out of it. Number one, we had the automobile by Henry Ford. Number two, we had the Wright brothers fly an airplane for the first time, and that's a multi-trillion-dollar business that's devastated right now in your country and mine. Then we obviously had the telephone come out with, Mr. Alexander Graham Bell, and then electricity. I'm saying exactly the same thing is happening now, but the people watching, listening to you and I, got to open their minds. And one of the books I wrote to that is Ask, because it teaches you how to ask yourself, what is my superpower? What is my greatness? You know, ask yourself. Ask yourself, ask others, ask God is what we're teaching in that, because we need to have more entrepreneurship where we fix a problem for a vast profit.
Yeah, and that's very interesting because, you know, one of the observations I've got about Australia is that we seem to be undervaluing entrepreneurialism generally and small businesses in particular, right? So there's a lot of lip service paid to this is, you know, a place for small businesses to grow. But actually, if you look at it, they find it very tough because there's a lot of red tape, there's a lot of difficulty in getting finance, and a lot of small businesses have effectively become service businesses like running cafes and restaurants and, you know, takeaways, those sorts of things. And that creates some value. But in terms of actually creating those new next generation ideas and those new next generation businesses, I think we're very much missing that in our economy at the moment. And that goes back to individuals having an idea and backing it, doesn't it?
You've hit it 100%. What I'm saying is, look, you got to take off the scales, take off the blinders, open up your eyes. And I give everybody free. They go to my website, markvictorhansen.com. I did a book, How to Be Up in Downtimes. I say, look, we got seven businesses that all of you know what they are that are in this decade from 2020 to 2030 are going to do not 50 billion, but 50 trillion. So take 10% of the economy, if 50 trillion, 10% of it would be 5 trillion in your great country with roughly 26 million Aussies.
Yep.
Yeah. Therefore, by the way, that's enough for everybody to get rich. Nobody should be doing poor minimum wage job. You don't have a minimum wage brain. And if you got a job, that means you're just over broke. If you got a job, do better than ever. But the point is you need to do your part-time moonlight work to find out what your great superpower is. Find some problem that you believe in and fix it. And I've got a solution. I got a story to tell if you want one.
Yeah, no, please do, because I think this is really, really important, because what you're underscoring is it is down still to what individuals do and think.
Exactly. And that's why we wrote this, because it asks you every question so you wake up your inner self. And we got a story in there. We interviewed the wisest man I personally know, and that's Jim Stovall. At age 19, he's going to be a major football player. He gets recruited to the NFL. They go in and they do the medical. And the doctor said, kid, the worst news I got for you, you're going to be totally, absolutely, completely blind for the rest of your life. And I'm sorry to tell you that. Well, he is bemoaning the fact in the 9x12 room. And sure enough, his parents come in and say, go to the blind meeting, Jimmy. Quit complaining. And sure enough, it's a negativity chamber. So he sits next to a great woman named Kathy. And he said, you know, in the old days, I got a TV, a radio, and a phone. I used to love to watch TV and see somebody throw a right hook. Somebody ought to do something about that. Remember, I said, fix a problem for a vast profit. She hits him in the ribs and says, you and I are somebody. Why don't we fix it for a profit? They created narrative TV, Martin, has 14 million people. Now, you and I are sighted, so we don't know it. I mean, we wear glasses or goggles, as they say in our country. The point is, they make $10 a month. You can figure out the math of that. That's pretty good. But then that would be good. But then somebody sent me his book, and I wrote the foreword and the afterword. And the last line he does in this, he said, if I live 100 years, I'll never thank you enough, because you said my book, The Ultimate Gift, should be a movie. I made $100 million on that movie. He said, I now write books that I can't read, and I make movies that I can't watch. What am I saying? Every one of us has got a problem that is God gave it to us as a gift. If you don't mind my spiritual overlay, and I know that everybody doesn't go to church in Australia, I got that clear. But the bottom line is, I happen to believe in God, so you don't have to believe in it. Just believe that Mark's weird and he believes in it. But the fact of the matter is, you're born rich with 18 billion brain cells, but they can't come to work until you make a decision and write on a little 3x5 card, I'm so happy, I'm going to be worth $1 million, and then I'm going to be worth 10 million by rendering this quantity, this quality of service with a positive mental attitude, and go out and do it.
Yeah. And that's the point, isn't it? Go out and do it is the critical thing. And here's, I think, where a lot of people get caught, right? Because essentially it's, how do I take the first step? How do I find that, you know, light bulb opportunity, right? And that's the real critical bit, isn't it?
I love it. I love it. By the way, if I'd written the questions for you, you couldn't be doing better. So you get an A+ today.
Thank you.
So we say, look, ask yourself, ask others, ask God. Go, before you go to sleep tonight, 101 times go, God, what's your destiny for me? God, what's your destiny for me? God, what's your destiny for me? And if that's too big, say, what is my right livelihood? What's my right livelihood? What's my right livelihood? Or what's my new business? What's my new business going to make me a fortune? What's my new business? But you got to do it 101 times. That goes into the depth of your soul and beingness. What's going to happen for every one of you is you'll wake up in the middle of the night, like 2:58 in the morning. You must have a pen and paper and tell your sweetie, hey, I'm going to wake up and Mark's whacked. I'm sure of it. he's crazy, but he's not lazy. So he's written 309 bestsellers, so he must be know something. And he owns a bunch of companies. So write down whatever you're told, because you already know the answer. And we've got right now, you said 900,000 Australians unemployed, and that's going to ricochet. So we got to go the other direction. And a way to do it is get everyone to use their superpower. What is it that you can ask 10 of your friends, write down, what is my superpower? And then what do you like to do in a triangle? And then go out and do it for a vast profit. A little profit's not okay. We got to have businesses that make vast profits today. And it's available to all of us, because Australia is here to serve 8 billion people. You're not, well, other than you can't fly in and out.
Slight problem, but temporary, hopefully.
and by the way, it's a temporary problem, I exactly. hope, I pray. Yeah. You know, we can talk about how to get over this if you want to do that too.
Well, just before we go into that, because I would like to talk about that, but one of the things that I think I want to underscore is this concept of, you know, seizing the day, seizing the moment, right? Because once you've actually figured out that, well, maybe this is something that, you know, I've got a particular opportunity or a particular capability, the next step then is to actually go do it, right? Because the second step that I often see that people, I mean, they've got this idea and they never really sort of, you know, take it anywhere. So what's the secret to changing from an idea to action?
Okay, once you figure out what you want and put it in writing, because that's a spiritual law, then the second thing is you got to have a buddy, a dream team partner, right? And I say team means together everyone accomplishes the miracles, whether it's Mark and Jack selling 500 million books and doing $1 billion worth of licensing and anyhow, more and more. And we just, because I just said, look, once you got it, what do you want to do? I want to create empires, and everybody is supposed to create an empire. It's not just for one. And then, you know, so you got to have a partner that's going to call you on your stuff. That's why I said, look, when we wrote Ask, we said, buddy up with somebody and go through every question. It could be your spouse, could be your partner, it could be your mastermind partner, because two or more agree to the power of 11. It's like when you light two candles and put them together, it jumps fourfold. Right? It's exponential. And the reason I'm talking about vast wealth is that if you walk 30 steps, that's 30 steps. But if you do exponential, it's 2, 4, 8, 16. $1 in 30 multiplications or permutations, it's called, becomes $1 billion. Did you know that?
It's like the old story about one rice grain on the first chessboard. And, you know, you double it, right? And it's a huge pile at the end.
Right. It happens to be $5,626,000. So, it's amazing how, and the point is, our parents, our grandparents did not have the choice to grow exponentially. They did not know simple principles that I teach and you know, like leverage, or you guys pronounce it leverage, right? It doesn't matter. You know what I'm talking about, right? Little hinges move a big door. And what I'm saying is, look, there's a lot of big doors that need to be moved, but it's up to each individual to find that and then partner up with a teammate that wants to help you do the self-initiative to action, to be self-determining, to create your fortune and a future that's worthy of you.
Right. And look, this is really important because there are a lot of people down here in Australia, I survey them quite often, who basically are sort of thinking rather passively now, oh, this is terrible. You know, we've got the lockdowns, and particularly in Victoria, and the economy is going off the boil, et cetera, et cetera. And we need the government to do, right, whatever it is. Your whole philosophy is it's not the government's issue, right? It's individuals' issues and what they do that's what really counts.
It doesn't matter what the government does or doesn't do, because they're always going to do stupid stuff. I don't think you disagreed with me. Bureaucrats are in a box, and they, you know, if you show any politician anywhere in the world money, he or she'll take it. It's that way. That's called taxation. And right, America was created because taxation without representation, you know, hum hum. I won't go into the rest of the words, which are a little negative, but the fact is that, you know, you lower taxes, you up the business. It's that simple. And we get everyone back to work. And you say, well, wait a second. You're telling me I should work when the government's going to pay me. Look, if the government takes the money, they're going to waste it, screw it up. If the individual, we put money back in businesses, the business builds, hires people. A millionaire employs directly and indirectly 10 people. A billionaire employs, you know, 10,000 plus people. We need more people that are rich, more people that are successful, more people that are free enterprise, more people that understand the government can't do it, the economy can't do it. The government and the economy aren't against you. Your neighbor's not against you. Your boss is not trying to squish you. You make you. And it's not out there, it's in here. What you impress, you express.
Right. So how do you then respond to those who say, oh, that's all very good in theory, but I haven't got any ideas and, you know, I haven't got enough money to get started and, you know, everything's pretty gloomy and there's a lockdown everywhere. How do you jump out of that?
Okay, those are three questions, not one. I got to, first of all, it's only gloomy if you see it as gloomy. I'm saying, hey, look, everybody, you got to listen to people like me. Throw off the blinders. Take the scales off your eyes. Open up your mind from the top. Let it come inside out. That's number one. Number two is somebody is always making a fortune. And let me just give the example in our country that everyone knows, and that's Elon Musk. Elon Musk is told by the governor, who is not very wise, as far as I'm concerned, in California. I mean, you can see he burnt down a damn state. Right? He shuts down Elon and says, you're not allowed to make cars. So Elon does. He finds out that we're out of ventilators and calls up 3M, who can't make them, and said, look, I own machines. I got metal stacked up. I got 3D printers. Let me make the ventilators. He made all the ventilators for 3M. But while he was making the ventilators, because I'm saying everyone's going to have problems, and you got to take adversity and find the advantage, and you got to take the disadvantage and turn it into opportunity. He made 90,000 cars while he was technically supposed to be shut down. He made ventilators, but he made 90,000 cars and became the fourth richest man in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, he has the same 24 hours that you do. He had more problems than you do. He didn't have any financing. There's plenty of financing. And if you don't have any ideas, back to your first of the three questions, I hope I'm answering them backwards sequentially, is that if you don't have any ideas, you ask somebody else, what needs to be done? Like Kathy said to our friend Jim Stovall, we could do it. Somebody's got a great idea out there. And if you'll partner with them, remember what I said, your golden triangle is what are you really good at? And then who could you partner with that loves what you love and go make this fortune? Because there's right now we have a $4 trillion economy. By the end of this decade, we're going to have a $20 trillion economy, which means you're going to have a $2 trillion. You may already have a $2 trillion economy in Australia. And the point is, it's going to be bigger and better than ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the point. And what you should participate, because if it's a $2 trillion economy and you only got 26 million people, that means everybody should be a multimillionaire. And I'm saying, don't go for 1 million, go for 10, and you'll figure out how to blow past the one faster than you ever thought. Because it's not that we want too much, it's that we want too little and we don't put our mind to work. If you put your mind to work, you get excited and you do it less time, you do it faster, you do it better, you do it with elegance and more simplicity, because you've got to have a better system.
Absolutely. Now, talking about a system, one of the observations that you have is that there will be significant changes to the retirement system ahead. Can we just unpack that a little bit?
Okay. First of all, I don't believe in retirement. I wrote a book with a guy named Art Linkletter who came to Australia, found a hula hoop, and made $2 billion with it. Do you know that name?
Yeah.
Right. He was our ambassador to Australia, and I wrote a book with him when he was 98. He and I wrote How to Make the Rest of Your Life the Best of Your Life, and Art said, we wrote together, don't retire, put on new tires and go in a new direction. Now, from a spiritual point of view, if you read the first chapter of Genesis, and most everybody's read that, number 28 is you're made in the image and likeness of God. Now, create, 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 create. That means you and I have two obligations during life. Number one is create, and number two is contribute. It does not say go thou and retire because you're now rich. Go thou and retire because you just hit 55, 65, 72. I think I'm not opposed to golf. I'm not opposed. I love deep sea fishing. I love all this stuff. I've hiked all the highest mountains in your country. I've not done the Red Rock. I've done Whitney and I've done Kilimanjaro and I've done Fuji. I want to do the Red Rock. I understand I need governmental permission these days.
It's shut now. You can't do the Red Center anymore.
I'll bet anything we can get him to open it.
I like your positive attitude.
I'll talk to the Aboriginals myself and get a permission slip, and I'll bring some Aussies with. The point is that there's more to do now than ever before, and no one should retire. But if you're going to retire, come up with something that really winds your clock. The reason we wrote this is because if you're alive, you have a destiny. And if you're alive, you have not fulfilled your destiny. Otherwise, you don't need to be here. So if you've got a destiny, your job is to say, what's my destiny? What's my destiny? What's my destiny? And then go for it with gusto and pull it off at levels you never even thought you could do.
Yeah. And look, I'm absolutely on song with that. You know, The Digital Finance Analytics channel, this channel, is effectively something I decided to do after I'd finished full-time work because I wanted something new to do, right? And I'm having more fun than I ever had when I was actually working for all those years for big companies, because it just shows it is feasible, but you have to step out of your comfort zone. You have to be able to actually grab that idea and find the community around you to be able to take it forward and then just keep going.
I want to talk to that just one second in a way that probably doesn't belong here, but you'll love it. One of your best singers is Olivia Newton-John. Now, she and her husband, John Easterling, are literally best friends with Crystal and I. I mean, we party with them and all that. But she has overcome adversity after adversity and has tried to help everybody in Australia. And I don't know, I've never been to her health clinic. I've been to their home. I've been all kinds of places. We just did a big giant church together not too terribly long ago. And I was talking at the church and I called up Olivia and I said, "You're in time. How would you like to talk to 10,000 people per service?" She said, "I'll come over there. Just send a car." We sent a car and she came. The audience went nuts because they didn't know she was coming. And what I'm saying to you is that people, you got to earn it. You got to learn it, earn it, and then return it. And you Australians, in my experience, like Olivia Newton-John and John Easterling, have gigantic hearts, beautiful souls. They want to grow. And you got to get out of this limitation that somebody else can limit you. Your company can't, your government can't, your economy can't, your age can't, your sex can't, your color can't. The fact that you and I would be blind without glasses can't. I mean, thank God we got that and I got hearing aids. We'll figure it out, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, in conclusion, what we can say is seize the day, right? Don't let this day go past without actually thinking about the future and thinking about what you can do to change it, to shape it, to grow. And actually, that attitude of mind, that switcher perhaps for some people, particularly if they're locked down in Melbourne, can really make a huge difference.
I love Melbourne. I love everywhere. I've been to Australia, as you know, 12 times, and Australians have been great to me. The media has been great to me.
There are lots of people out there who turn to educators and professionals and advisors, right? Does that work?
Look, we have the best educated people in the world, but right now, because we're in a what's called a conundrum, it's a big puzzle, and you got to look at the people that are turning a profit today. And I can tell you, because I've been doing up to 4 or 5 podcasts a day in Israel and Europe and Africa and all over America, is that you got to go to the people that are really pulling it off. And there's a lot of people pulling it off, and some of them are younger than you. So don't let age be a barrier. Don't let sex, color, creed, gender, orientation be a barrier. Just decide to look in the zone that you want. Because I wrote a book with the world's greatest marketer, Jay Abraham, called How to Grow Rich in Your Niche. There's a niche out there for everyone. Like I wrote in 1 Minute Millionaire, there's one perfect, right, easy, acceptable way for you to become a multimillionaire. All you got to do is go inside deep, find it, pull it out, and then go manifest it.
You'll be running a virtual seminar next week on the 16th, and that's available. We'll put the link below, and people can explore this in more detail. I do think this is a really important message for Australians in Australia at this time.
I couldn't agree more. Look, it's going to be Australia and the United States that pulls us out of the do, as far as I'm concerned. China is not going to be in it. China is trying to take over Hong Kong and Taiwan and Vietnam, none of which I agree with. I agree with Australia. I agree with America. And we have to do the right thinking, take the right action to get the right result for ourselves and for the rest of humanity. So the occupational ability, thanks to electronics with the cell phone and computers, is enormous now. Everybody can make their fortune and it can make it faster, better, and I want you to do it ethically, morally, and have fun doing it.
Really appreciate your time today, and your message is always so powerful and positive. Thank you very much for spending the time with us.
Delighted, Martin. Thank you for having me on again.
Take care.